Let Ferguson's knowledgeable product experts kick off your next kitchen or bath project with the latest in touch and hands-free faucets, high-performance gas ranges, or low-decibel dishwashers. They're really quiet. Request your appointment today at FergusonShowrooms.com. The best decision ever.
Visit Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery in Nashville to discover a wide selection of Whirlpool appliances. From refrigeration to laundry, there's no brand better than Whirlpool. Find out more at FergusonShowrooms.com. Am I living it right? Am I living it right? Am I living it right? Why, Georgia, why?
Our coverage from Atlanta, Georgia on 104.5 The Zone for Super Bowl 53 leading up to Sunday's game. Brought to you by Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery and the Low T Center. Do yourself a favor and visit them online at lowtcenter.com. He's one of the best defensive players of this recent era of the NFL and a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. Champ Bailey joins us on the Midday 180s. We broadcast live from Radio Row at Super Bowl 53. Champ started 207 games over 15 seasons with the Redskins and Broncos, 12-time Pro Bowler, tied for the most by a defensive back for a career, and he's now one step away from Canton, Ohio. Champ, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. What is it like to know you're one step away from the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
You know, it's a little surreal. You know, it's something I've dreamed about, you know, happening in my career and to have it finally approaching. I mean, it's a little nerve-wracking. It's, you know, it's emotional. You know, my family, you know, I got a big family. I got, you know, obviously two brothers that played at Georgia with me. So they all, you know, they all kind of as much in this as I am, you know.
We know you were raised in Folkston here in Georgia. You were born in Fort Campbell up by us in Nashville. How young were you when you guys moved?
I was very young. I think I was 2 years old. My dad was in the military, and I think we left there and went to Germany for 3 years, and we ended up back in Folkston, Georgia.
I want to go back to 1999 at your scouting combine. You ran a 4.28. When a guy runs a 4.28 now, even though it's not the record, the NFL world stops and about blows up. In 1999, when a guy ran a 4.28, how much fanfare was there?
Well, there was some, you know, but I think what really goes into it is the surprise of it. If you're a guy that they didn't expect to run that, then it was, you know, a little bit more fanfare. But I believe everybody was aware that I was a track guy and, you know, I had speed to go along with my skills. So it wasn't a lot to go behind that.
How much?
Plus, there's no social media back then,
right,
as well.
How much do you think it helped your stock to put it on the board?
Well, I was graded pretty high coming out. But I think when you really solidify when you prove everybody right, you know, okay, this guy's fast, this guy could jump, this guy, you know, he's quick. And when you put a stamp on that, you know, it just solidifies it and ingrains you in those positions that they already got you pre-drafted in.
52 interceptions, and that's for your career, after teams would avoid even throwing in your direction at times. Which interception stands out to you most?
Well, a lot of them. It's hard to pinpoint one, but I always go back to my first one. I was with the Redskins. We were playing the Cowboys, and they had that three-headed monster still playing, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and Troy Aikman. And I was covering Michael Irvin all day, and I picked off Troy Aikman, and I tackled Emmitt Smith. So it was like the best day of my life in my first career game. So it was one of those moments I won't forget.
And you started as a rookie in Washington playing with Deion and with Daryl Green, right?
Well, my first year I had Daryl, and then Deion came my second year. And fortunate enough, I had two Hall of Famers in the same meeting room. So I was destined to do some great things picking their brain.
What's it like having high expectations, seventh overall pick, and being in a locker room with two Hall of Famers, or who would be Hall of Famers at the time?
I couldn't believe it. You know, when they said they were signing Deion, my first reaction is, am I going to start? You know, but they made it clear that I was still going to start and, you know, be a regular. And I actually started and had my first Pro Bowl that year, and I give them all the credit for that.
Champ Bailey with us on the Midday 180.
If I'm not mistaken, you had another memorable pick of one Tom Brady. If it wasn't in the end zone, it was pretty close. And did you take that one the distance?
I got close enough to say I didn't score, but
we'll pretend you did.
But it was one of those plays that definitely sticks out because of the point swing, and obviously it was a playoff game.
It's almost 15 years since the deal that sent you and a second rounder from Washington to Denver for Clinton Portis. I don't want to hear anybody talking about this trade being semi-even. This was an absolute steal. It's taken a long time until these trades have become kind of more common. Back then, it was unheard of for two big names to be swapped. Was it cool to be part of that, or was there some level of insult to the fact that somebody would ship you out?
You know, it's a business, and I think that was the first time I really knew, like, that those last 2 years in Washington, I understood how big business it was, the game of football, and, you know, it really doesn't happen, ever. And still to this day, it's rare to see it, two players of our caliber get traded for another. But I think the icing on the cake was the second-round pick. You know, just to be able to sneak your second-round pick in with me, it definitely solidified who won that trade.
You remember who they used it on?
Tatum Bell. Tatum Bell, who has, you know, he had a 1,000-yard season for Denver. He definitely wasn't Clinton Portis, but, you know, he was definitely a good pro.
Washington could have franchise-tagged you, right? Why do you think they decided not to?
Actually, they did, but okay. They only did it. They only did it to trade me. I mean, the trade had to be, you know, co-signed by myself. I could have nullified the whole thing. So, getting the right team was obviously something that played a role in it. And once I heard it was Denver, of course, I signed the tag, and then they traded me.
Take us through the recruitment. Nashville was in the middle of the Peyton Manning saga a handful of years ago. When Manning decided to go to Denver, what was the reaction like in that locker room? Because ultimately, you guys knew you had a chance to make a run at the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, it was. We knew. We knew we had a shot. And I think as an NFL player or any player, you just want a shot. You know, you want to give yourself the best chance to win. We had a decent defense. You know, had a few good draft picks, you know, those years he was there. It just didn't come together in time for me to get a piece of it.
You went to 12 Pro Bowls, we mentioned. That's certainly going to be something we discuss in the room as we discuss your candidacy, and that means a lot from your era. Does it bother you at all now that the game is played the week before the Super Bowl instead of the week after? So obviously the guys from the two teams in the Super Bowl aren't in it. Guys drop out like crazy. There are a million alternates in it. And you get that pineapple next to your name connected to a Pro Bowl, and it doesn't mean what it once did. And this generation's players, when we talk about them in the Hall of Fame room, we're going to have to weed through whether those Pro Bowls meant anything or not. Like, were you actually elected to the game, or were you a seventh alternate?
Yeah, that does play a role, and you have to consider that. And another thing to look at is they take four corners now. They only had three every year I went. So, you know, it was rare to get in there. So to add 33% more corners, I mean, I think it changes the game a little bit. And, you know, it's not as prestigious as it once was, but it's still hard to get there. And, you know, I still have a level of respect for any guy, however you get there, you know, whether it's an alternate or not. Because a lot of these alternates probably should have been in anyway.
You were a super fast guy, obviously, and you went against a lot of super fast guys. I was surprised to see you on a little web television show saying who it was that surprised you with his speed. I want to see if you give the same answer now. A receiver you went against who surprised you with his speed?
Well, I could tell you a lot that were really fast, but one was DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, speed was, I think it was the way he attacked me, because it was the first play of the game, and he just took off on the go route, and they threw it. But good thing Donovan McNabb overthrew it, you know. So the guy was fast, and he had me on my heels all day. But I had a decent game. But he's one that sticks out.
So you go by Champ. Your brother's name is Boss. How do you live up to expectations as a kid with those names?
You know, I really didn't understand how much that meant back then, because I was always Champ. You know, before I could speak, you know, people called me Champ. So it was natural to me. But as I got older, I'm realizing, like, if I'm a kid and I'm thinking about it, I wouldn't want to be called Champ because of the pressure. But then I think, okay, I just went through that, but I had no pressure. So it's all about timing. Good thing for me, I was named Champ before I could even open my mouth to say a word. And it never really felt like pressure until people really started telling me, how do you live up to it? And, you know, by then I'm in college.
What about Boss? How's he done with it?
He's done great. You know, he obviously had a 6-year career in the NFL, and, you know, like I said, it's something he was called before he could even speak. So it was just who we were, and we knew nothing different.
We know a lot of football players have you had a tremendous career. We know a lot of guys carry into retirement one thing that eats at them. I'm wondering, in an era of classic Super Bowls with tremendous endings and tight scores, how much 43-8 might bother you from your Seahawks-Broncos game?
It bothered me for a little bit, you know, but, you know, as I've gotten a little older and had time to reflect the last couple years, you know, I look at the matchup and we really didn't have a chance when you think about it. One thing I've always hung my hat on was, defense is the way you win championships. You get stops, you win. And that was one of the best defenses we played in NFL history. So I knew that, and we were also missing a lot of pieces. Now, I didn't believe that going into the game because, you know, I'm a little arrogant at the time at that time, and I'm feeling good about my team, and we made it to the Super Bowl. Why don't we have a shot? But when I reflect, we were missing a lot. We had a lot going against us, but we made it there, and, you know, unfortunately, we didn't put up a good fight.
Champ Bailey is our guest, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist here at 104.5 The Zone. Were you and your brothers always going to Georgia? Was there any consideration for any other college?
You know, I had an older brother there as well, my older brother Ron. So by the time it got to me and Boss, it was pretty solidified we were going there. You know, we grew up dog fans, and, you know, having the older brother there, I did take other visits, but that was just to get out of folks.
who made the biggest impression or the biggest push if Georgia would not have been the school you signed with?
Two of them, Auburn and Georgia Tech. They were really on me hard, and I think they really thought they had a shot.
What is a lasso sock?
Oh, man. Well, it's funny you ask. You know, I wish I had it when I played. It's a sock. It's a compression sock, but it's backed by technology. So if you look at the layers of compression, they support your main ligaments. You know, your plantar fascia, your Achilles, the arch in your foot, and it has strike padding. So, you know, your toes and your heel, there's a little bit of extra padding. And I always think about, you know, how bad my feet hurt now. I mean, that's basically why I retired. I just wish I could have had something like this, because it reduces ankle rolling. I mean, it supports your ligaments. Like, oh, my God, this is the reason I retired. Where was this a few years back? So my idea now is to try to give it back to the players. So I sent a few players some socks and, you know, letting guys try them out. It's supposed to replace ankle tape over time, but we all know how brainwashed we are about ankle tape, but it really doesn't do anything for you except weaken your ankle. So, you know, it's just another option. Hopefully guys take to it, and we'll see where it goes.
How big is your stake in it?
10% right now.
Champ Bailey, our guest. Champ, I know you live in the Atlanta area, here in Georgia. All the Pro Football Hall of Fame finalists normally wait for the knock at a hotel. Do you get to stay at your house?
You know, they didn't give me that option, you know, at least not right now. But I think if you were unable to be on site, I don't think it'd be a problem. But one thing I'm not going to do is mess up the process and try to be different. I'm going to just go through the process as if I'm coming from out of town, and I have a lot of family here, so we'll see how it goes.
I don't know if you believe in jinxes or not. As a show, we do not. But do you take part in like the after party planning if you do receive the knock, or do you let the family handle that?
I told them we're not planning anything. You know, we definitely don't put the cart before the horse around okay. here, and I don't want to jinx it. I just want to just let the process run its course, and we'll just live with the results. And all we need is each other to have a party, so it's not like we have to plan anything.
You're 40 years old, right?
Yeah.
Do you still think you can play? And when you see Brady play at this level, do you wish you would have stayed in the game?
Well, I don't do what Brady does, and I never have. So it's a different beast playing corner. And absolutely not, I couldn't play. I could probably train for a good month, go out there and play one game, but after that, I'd be done, you know?
How fast do you think you are right now if you ran 4.28 and 99?
Oh, you know, if I run sub 4.6, I'd be surprised.
I appreciate the candor. Most guys, you know, champ, no matter how long removed they are from their career, they say, oh, I could still run a 4.4. I could still go out there and teach the kids a thing. So that's part of what makes you appealing.
But they never prove it.
That's right.
They never prove it. I'm not even going to do that to myself.
Hey, we wish you the best of luck, and we hope you have one of the most spontaneous, best parties known to mankind. We look forward to seeing you throughout the week in Atlanta.
That's the plan, guys. I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, Champ. Champ Bailey has been our guest, one of the Pro Football Hall of Fame finalists. And, Paul, that'll be interesting, especially with some of the other first-time finalists on this ballot this year. We always discuss it with you. He's one of them, and he's when you look at the accolades, the All-Pros that he had to begin, first-team All-Pro each of the first four seasons that he started in the league, ends up going to 12 Pro Bowls, and his durability, I mentioned 207 starts, he can make a case for why he's deserving of the jacket this year.
A lot of people presuming there's going to be three first-ballot first-timers here with Champ Bailey, Tony Gonzalez, and Ed Reed, and that's a hell of a three-pack. Hard to make a case. I mean, all three of them are definite Hall of Famers. The timing is the only question, and I'll be surprised, I think, if all three of them aren't getting knocks on the door Saturday night. That's pretty cool that he's I'm not messing with the process.
Yeah. We are just getting started here on the show for today's coverage here from the World Congress Center, Radio Row, Super Bowl 53. This is the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.